Audrey, bring our soon to be departed up here, please. No, you have to escort her up here. Then you have to stand by her. All right.
Aren't we doing this at the end?
No, we're doing it now.
I wasn't ready yet.
So we're ambushing you. Tell everybody what you're about to do.
I'm about to get in a truck and drive to Connecticut. That's all God's revealed so far. I've been here almost 2 years, and it was kind of the same thing. God said, go. And I honestly thought I was going to Wilmington, North Carolina, and about Virginia, God said, Savannah. And I thought, what the heck is in Savannah? You were. You all were. And, you know, I don't know exactly why God brought me here, but I'm grateful that he did. Been a rough couple of years, but he has given me wonderful people to stand by me. And he's taught me how to love, because you showed me how. You especially. Just, I don't know, you know, the hands and feet. You know, it sounds so cliche, but you guys have been that to me, the hands and feet of Jesus. And now I can carry that back. I don't know what God's plan is for me. I don't know where I'll live or where I'll work or whatever, but I do know the one who holds the plans. And I'm just going to keep seeking him and keep asking him. He'll show me.
And then there's a last part of that. You're going to go up there, and then what's the other part?
Dusty prophesied a couple weeks ago at Life Group that I am going to return to Savannah, a very wealthy woman.
And she said, I received that joyfully. We're a sending church. In that sense, we are apostolic, because that's the God we serve. He is apostolic. He sends. He sends out. She's really not leaving us. We're just agreeing with God in sending her to her next assignment as we join her in prayer and join the Lord in what he has already decided that he's going to do. Now, she's already got one job that God has employed her at. What is that?
I'm going to be teaching a Bible study for the women of University of Connecticut.
So in that sense, what was that? Fully employed by the Lord. So it is our custom here to lay hands on people and send them out in his name. So if some of you would like to come and lay hands on Claudia right now, come on, and we're going to anoint her and send her out. Come on up here. There we go, right there. There we go. Now, Claudia, before we pray, I just want you to look around you. This side of heaven, you'll never see a more eclectic, varied, diverse group of people than you do right now. I mean, just look around you at all these faces, these people, the comedians we have here. In Jesus' name, of course. All right. Claudia, our sister, we anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And right now, in Jesus' name and by his power, we send you out. We send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of our Father, Daddy, Abba. As he brought you here, now he is taking you to your next assignment. Lord, send her with grace and mercy and great love. Lord, thank you that you've filled up the love tank. Lord, I'm asking you now that you'll distribute that as she becomes your vessel in a brand new way. She's not going back the same way she left. She is a different woman. And we thank you that you're continuing that work in her life. Lord, we claim those blessings. We claim miracles before. I never read a Bible for sure. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would bless her in every way. Give her ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart that can love, a feet, Lord, feet that will be ready with the preparation of the gospel of peace as she goes forth. And we make this prayer in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen. Do you receive the prayers that we have prayed over you today and the last several weeks? Amen. God bless you. Do you feel the gentle rumbling of God doing something? Have you felt that this week? Are you feeling God that here on heaven we're getting the results of something that shifted in the heavens? And in our behalf. If you feel it, let me tell you, we're coming in agreement today. He's doing it. Now, there's a brief life story that I want you to hear. Come on up here, Priscilla. This is Priscilla Westfield. She's the one that beats Dane like a drum on the basketball court. Cheer big. Oh yeah, yeah. Ain't God good? Oh, don't you just love it? Okay, Priscilla.
Here you go. You'll have to hold it yourself.
Okay, I guess you guys are wondering why I'm up here, but Dusty and Pastor Rick asked me to stand up here and tell you guys about the importance of cell group. Well, I was thinking, I was like, what am I going to say? I'm like nervous. I'm not very articulate, but I trust that God will give me the words to say. But anyway, the reason why cell group is so important. Well, I was thinking in my experiences, okay, the whole purpose of the church is, you know, to learn about God and to build relationships and encourage each other in faith and stuff like that. But it's like, I'm thinking, okay, I go to church, I say hi to everybody, you know, have a brief conversation, and then we leave. So how exactly is that reinforcing relationships and encouraging each other in the faith? And then God showed me, he was like, well, you got to break it down. The whole purpose of a cell group is that. I mean, yeah, church is the body, but the relationships that we build with one another is what actually gets us through our walk and helping us to stay on course for Christ, to give us that focus. Because, you know, you go out into the world and you get hammered by all kinds of garbage that Satan tries to throw at you, and it's like you're all by yourself, so what are you going to do? You rely on your brothers and your sisters to pray for you, to encourage you, to you know, to help you out and stuff like that. And that's the purpose of cell group. Jesus spoke in parables, and one of the parables that God put into my brain is something from experience. Like this week, Lisa and I, we actually went for a little run, and she said she wanted to get faster, and I was like, well, if you want to get faster, you got to stay focused, basically. And we went out running, and I ran beside her. I was like, well, you're going to set the pace out there, and I'm going to help you come back. And coming back is the hardest part, because you lose focus, you get tired, your muscles are aching, you want to stop. And the whole purpose of me being right next to her was to say, hey, come on, right here, stay with me. We're almost there. Don't give up. Stay focused. Keep your head up. And in doing that, she got her very best time ever. And I'm so proud of her.
No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one that puts it in us to encourage one another. And I encourage you, if you don't know where there's a cell group, find out, because you will be greatly blessed. I have my cell group, or the different cell groups I've been to, because I've been to quite a few, they're closer to me than my actual family is. And I could never imagine where I'd be without them, because I've gone through some pretty dark times. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Priscilla. She is a woman of many, many talents.
Thank you. Thank you, Priscilla. And Claudia, for those testimonies. My daddy is 82 years old. And like this woman told me that was much older than me one time, and son, you'll get old too one day if God blesses you. My dad, when he was born, was 75 years removed from the Civil War. I want you to follow this with me. My granddaddy, when he was born, was 36 years removed from the Civil War. He knew people, talked with people that had fought in the Civil War. My great-granddaddy, two of my great-granddaddies, knew a lot of people that had fought, lived through the Civil War. In fact, they were both born shortly after the Civil War. And in fact, they knew people that had fought in the War of 1812. My great-great-granddaddy rubbed shoulders with men who had fought in the American Revolution. When I was born, I was only 89 years removed from the Civil War. Now, why am I telling you all that? I'm telling you to give you a perspective on time and how quickly time passes. Because you think of Civil War, you think of War of 1812, you think of the American Revolution, and you think of it in terms of, and I do too, as far removed from us. No, it's not. How quickly things can change. And they do. Right now, they're changing radically around us, around the world. Where are we right now in the world? Our culture's changing radically. I mean, it's funny about you look at the things that are very different, and about looking back at schools and when I was in grade school, the biggest problems that we had were sticking your gum under the desk, playing with the girl's hair in front of you, which was always long, and getting out of line when you walked to the lunchroom. Boy, things changed. The stakes in our world are rising on the geopolitical platform around the world, that they're rising. Now, you may be one of those people that just has your head in the sand and you say, I'm not going to think about any of it. It's time for you to start thinking about the world in which you live, the culture in which you live, where God has placed you. A great switch has taken place in many areas of society. The evil one has traded a lie to us about so many things in life. Look at how many things are actually turned on their head about life and what is good, what is profitable, what is right. In spite of what some church growth people might want to try to convince you otherwise, there's a greater percentage of people without Jesus in our country. Greater percentage. Now, of course, there's a greater number, but a greater percentage than there's ever been. Atheists and agnostics are growing rapidly as a percentage in our country. There's isolation that is taking place like never before in our country. In fact, people can be alone in a crowd. Let's just go through my pockets here. There's one. Let's see what else I got in here. Oh, that's my one from work. What else we got in here? Oh, that's gotta have that. That's the iPod. All right. And I ripped off Audrey's Kindle, you know. Alone in a crowd. Quote a great American, Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. Every part of our whole societal system is under fire. Home, business, government, the law, education. Name it. Would you say sin is rampant? In fact, when's the last time you even heard the word sin? What is sin? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Come short of God's glorious ideal, which was shown to us in Christ. All of sin was sin. Sin is anything that's displeasing to God. Things that you do that you weren't supposed to do. Things that you didn't do that you were supposed to do. It's an attitude. It's a separation from God. It's God over here and not God. Not God is the sin. It entered into in the garden. There's a systematic and brazen plot afoot in our country to remove everything that is related to God from the public square. Do you really realize that? Trace historically and go back to the early 60s and what happened then. Something happened. A watershed event took place in the early 60s. Prayer was taken out of school. And I know people say, well, people could continue to pray. Yes, they can, as they can now. You can pray in a concentration camp. But what was taken out was the public recognition of that. It's like, you know, all these places that have had the different things that would indicate our Christian heritage, our Judeo-Christian heritage. There's an attempt to systematically take them away. Where's the church been in all of this? Well, in a lot of cases, we've stood by. We've compromised. We've conceded territory. And we've not become involved. Say, well, that's for somebody else. We've let convenience rule our lives. We failed to love because really loving somebody, if you really love somebody, you're going to go try to snatch them out of the traffic before they get run over, aren't you? And what have we reduced love to? As some mamby-pamby kind of feeling that acquiesces to, well, whatever you think is good for you. Is that the way you raise your children? To say to a child, whatever you think is good for you. No, you don't do that. You stand in front of them and you do everything you can. We failed to tell the truth. When in Ephesians 4:15 it says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. And it's a both and. It's not some bigoted, come down on you kind of thing, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. You know, I'm sorry if that brought up a TV show for you or something. Speaking down to them and that. No! It's just like Jesus spoke the truth. And he cried. He wept over Jerusalem. Have you wept over your country and over the people in your life? And in many cases, we have failed to share the only message in the world that will radically change a person's life. In a lot of cases, we failed to be the church. And I put myself in the middle of that. So what shall we do? There's the bad news. I gave you the bad news. And as I said to you in the last couple of weeks, you know, during the holidays, the Lord gave me this epiphany and really allowed me to see the bad news and the good news. Both, and to see the time in which we're in. Yes, we're in a time where if we're not careful, God's going to completely lift His hand from our country. If we're not careful. That has already begun. The judgment has already begun in our country, I believe. I can show you many examples of that. But God's not through with us yet, because on the other side of that is we live in a time of the greatest opportunity in the history of mankind to share the gospel, to share the joy. And I think about what Paul and Silas must have thought, what Barnabas must have thought, all those missionaries that went around the world as they went, and they went to some dark places, but they knew the Lord was with them. They saw the bad news up close and personal, but in the midst of that and all the hellhole of bad news and the judgment because of choices that people were making in their lives, there comes the light of the gospel, the good news, the brightness that is there. You go by Savannah Care Center on the street that is surrounded by all this darkness, and what do you see? You see this bright and shining place there because good news is coming out of that place. Just one example. What shall we do then? As a church, we can't continue in 2013 like we have been in 2012. It's time. It's time, as we said 2 weeks ago, for us to be fully employed and all in. If we really believe this, do we really believe the gospel? Do we really believe that Jesus changes life? Do we really believe that a person without Jesus is forever separated from God? Or is that just a bunch of religious talk? If we don't really believe, then it doesn't matter. Go join a club somewhere. Do a feel-good somewhere else. This isn't about a feel-good. This is about
the truth. If we believe that Jesus, like he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's time to be fully employed, all in, speaking life over people. Did you have an opportunity to do that last week? Boy, what a privilege to do that, to speak life. It's time to speak the truth in love, wherever we are, with people. And not in some rat-a-tat-tat machine gun fashion, just not taking people into, not looking at the situation. No! But where does God lead you? Where's He lead you? Where's He showing you and giving you an opportunity to speak truth in someone's life in love? And where else will they hear it? What was the question Paul asked in Romans? He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, who's he talking about, a preacher? Is he talking about some, oh, he's been ordained in the local church, he's the pastor? No! He's talking about all of us, me and you, who become God's mouthpiece. We become God's tabernacle. In fact, that's another picture he has of the church, is that our bodies become the tabernacle of God. It's time to live out the gospel of Jesus. It's time to stop living independent lives. A couple of passages from Acts. Rick Sawyer read a couple of these today, but in Acts 2:46, hear the word of God. And day by day, this is after Pentecost now. Holy Spirit's come on the church and they're sharing. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Daily in the temple, house to house, both this big group and in the small group. Then over in Acts 5:42 it says, and every day in the temple and from house to house they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus. In the temple, big group. In the house, small group. And then go to Acts 20, where Paul gathers the Ephesian elders together and he says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house. It was the third century, excuse me, it was 300 years before there was ever a building that was solely dedicated to people meeting together as the body of Christ. Did you know that? 300 years. Well, how'd they do church? Well, it was their life. They were called people of the way of life. And they met in homes. And sometimes they'd meet out in the field. Sometimes they'd meet at the synagogue. They were not living independent lives. It's time for a shift for us. I'm going to read you a passage that I'm going to preach on next Sunday. It's from 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. Verse 21, 22. And they helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the army. For day by day, men came to David to help him until there was a great army like the army of God. I believe what God is calling us to is to become His army. the army of God. That means fully employed, where everybody is a part of it. Not spectators. Not spectators in the kingdom. But an army of God marching through this world with the love of Jesus on our lips and in our hearts. So how can we do that? How can that be possible? We've got to start letting the Holy Spirit teach us how to be the church today. How to be the people of God. How to be the army He's called us to be. It's time for us to repent. Repent is just a fancy biblical word, very biblical word, for changing your mind. Just think of 180 when you think of repent. It means a total flip, a change completely. An about face, you're heading one direction, whoop, you turn around the other direction. That's what repentance is. Because the essence of repentance is we were headed away from God and now we have changed and we're headed toward Him. We must become teachable. God's not looking for the learned. He's looking for teachable people. Did you hear me? So often in the church we think, he's looking for the ones who know a lot. No, He's looking for the ones who know Him, who are teachable. He's looking for people who are available. And yet, we think that it's all based on ability. What abilities have I got? Well, did you know that spiritual gifts are fluid? That the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts as we need them in our lives. So in that sense, He gives you the capacity to serve Him. He honors you with that. So He's looking for availability, not ability. He's looking for obedience. He's not looking for those who already know it all, who already have an agenda. He's looking for those who will be obedient. So where do we start? We start right here. We start right now. We start today. What is Savannah going to be? Do you know when you get to heaven, whenever that is, whenever God decides that that is, whether Jesus comes back for you, however He comes back for you, in death or if you are here at His second coming, do you know you're going to have to give a response for what you did with the opportunity that you have received in this life? We have a stewardship of this city. We have a stewardship of the opportunities that He has given us. And what are we doing with it? Where's Savannah headed? That old statement, would hell in a handbasket be? Right? There's some good things going on in Savannah. But what overshadows Savannah? A darkness. A need. A need of Jesus today. And you know, there are some of the politicians, I've heard them recently, that are starting to get so desperate that they're even willing to entertain the fact that the body of Christ might be able to help out in this. So desperate for something to happen. We start here. We start right now. Are you in? Are you ready? Now, I could lay out to you a plan. And I've got a lot of things laid out. In fact, I've got notes and outlines for all of it. But you know what? That's my stuff. I'd be defying what I've just... The preacher would not be listening to his own preaching. I'm saying, let's listen to the Lord. Dane, Rick, and I have been praying for months. As a number of you have, you've been praying. God, what are you going to do with us? What do you want from us? And He's been stirring us, the Spirit of God. He will not let us go. He's not going to go quietly. He's not going to just let it just pitter away. He's saying, listen to me. Listen to me. Next Sunday morning at 9:30, we're going to begin our training. If you want to be part of this army, if you want to be part of what God is doing, if you want to learn what the church is about, what God has called us to, you join us here in this room, 9:30, next Sunday morning. Now I realize for some of you saying, not convenient, preacher. Well, there you go. There's your answer. There's your answer right there. I have nothing more to say. I can't speak to that because you make a choice. It's my responsibility as a pastor, senior pastor, the senior under-shepherd of this congregation to give the opportunity. That's all I can do. I am not Lord of the harvest. I cannot force you. I cannot. And quite frankly, there's some of you sitting here right now and you think, well, I pretty well got it all together myself, and I've got my own little world carved out over here. Really? Really? And you're thinking, well, I really don't need these other people. Really? Be careful what you admit to. We need one another vitally. I'm calling on you. Over the next, I don't know how many weeks, it's kind of like we're doing this prayer. And by the way, thank you, those of you that are just those emails, those texts, those of you that come by. You know, we burnt the candles down to nothing last week in here. Need to put some more candles in there. Thank you for your prayer. God's answering our prayers. Can you see this? He's answering our prayers. The rumble is happening. The Spirit of God is moving through. He's shaking things up. I've said to you, last two Sundays, I've apologized to you for not putting the vision out there to you like I should have. I want to live a life this year that I won't have to apologize for anything. 2013. There are great things God wants to do in us. I know where society's headed. I started out with all that, but that's where society's headed. We've got Jesus. He's the Lord over circumstances. He can change anything. The next how many weeks, I can't say to you. When we meet here on Sundays at 9:30, we're going to do some serious training in the Word as we look at the church and who we are and how we're supposed to be set up and our life groups, how that works and all, and being a community of God. We'll put all that together. We're teaching at 11 o'clock. We're going to do some more teaching with some motivation that goes along with that. We're going to have more testimonies. We've got a play, a skit we're going to do over the next several weeks, other testimonies from people's lives. We're going to hear all that. And as that rumbles on out, it's going to work its way out into it with all that we do during the week. You know, stay online. You're going to get some, you're going to get some confidential communiques. Through email and other avenues this week. Just be ready. Be ready. It's a comprehensive thing. We're saying to the Lord, Lord, however you want to do this, we want to be your people here in Savannah. And what does that look like? I want to see that.
I want to see what that looks like before he calls me home. I want to see it. I want to see it. And not for, listen, this isn't building anybody's kingdom and all. If y'all think that, you hadn't been paying attention. Lord knows, we do everything we can to push that away. That's not who we are. But we are the people of God. And what is going to give Him glory in Savannah, Georgia? I'm calling you to a boot camp. I'm calling you to begin to get ready, to prepare for the future. Now listen to me. Is there anybody here that's stupid enough to say, oh, I know what's going to happen next year? Anybody? You say that? Is anybody here that is stupid enough to say, oh, things have been going great in our country since 2007? Anybody? Anybody can say that? Of course you can't. Let's be honest. And let's embrace the fact that God has given us an opportunity. He's saying, here it is. I'm giving you a chance to be part of what I'm doing in the earth. And as far as I can determine, we're not going to put a plan out and say, God, come put a blessing on it. Not the way we're doing it. No, in fact, we're saying, God, you show us what the plan is, and we're going to come jump on your boat. We're going to be with you. I'm not asking you today, are you with me? I'm asking you today, are you with Jesus? That's what I'm asking. In just a moment, we're going to open the altar. As I say to you, before we do that, let me just give you a little brief picture of what might happen. We get engaged with Him. Imagine, think of the person in your life, in your family, at your workplace, in your neighborhood that needs Jesus the most. You got those people in mind? What would happen if Jesus got a hold of them? Man. How many of those would it take before it just radically change? Radically change people. Radically change our lives. Start to radically change this city. And you know, Savannah's just an overgrown town. Everybody knows one another. And you start jumping that fire starts jumping the fence. That wildfire. You know, I'm ready for some wildfire, aren't you? I'm tired of no fire. Let's have some wildfire. Some Jesus, some Holy Spirit wildfire, where your gifts and your graces and all you bring to the table, God uses that as part of His plan. But let me tell you, He's got more He wants to give you. It's not a zero-sum game, people, spiritually. He's got more to give you than you could ever imagine. Are you ready? I'm not asking you today to take the step 10 days from now or 10 hours from now. The only step you can take today is the next one. What will it be? And be ready. Because man, God starts shaking things up. He's going to change things. He's going to change people's lives. How about if that grouchy person that rains on everybody's parade, what if Jesus does a work in their life and the next time what you hear coming out of their lives is, oh, I love you guys. and you're the best in my life. What if you start hearing stuff like that? Would it change your business? Would it change your home? Would it change your family? You bet. Lord, we come to you right now, and I thank you for hearing and answering our prayers today. I thank you, Lord. You are Lord over all. I thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for changing our lives. And now, Lord, we're asking you. We're asking you, Jesus, as we begin boot camp with you, Lord. Lord, speak to us. Move in us. Lord, we don't want to be the same people. We want to move closer to you where we can love more, where we can give ourselves more. Lord, where there will be more joy in our life and a depth like we've never had. Lord, today, Spirit of God, come now. We love you. As Gary plays quietly, I'm going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and pray, the pastors will be here to pray with you today. If you like, but the altar's open. Come. Come now.
What a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you, my Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What a friend you are. What a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you, my Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Y'all could look this way. Lamar's got a couple of prayer requests he wants to share with us right now.
It's a friend of my daughter, Belinda. She had a very close friend that passed away Friday morning. Cystic fibrosis. And then she had a sister that passed away when she was 10 years old. Charity was 33. And I found out this morning that her oldest brother now has a terminal disease. And it's, I thank God for the opportunity that I'd been able to be with them for 2 days. And it was a blessing to me. It was hard, but it was a blessing. And I think Dusty came up there. And all of y'all that have been praying that knew about it, I thank you. And I'd just like to ask us to lift up this family in this time. And, you know, I know it's hard. But I don't know how hard, you know, you done lost 2 kids, and you know you're going to be losing another one. But you just don't know when. And I just asked y'all to pray for this family. It's the Your Work family, and they do need all of our prayers.
Let's pray right now. Lord, I thank you. Lord, as you're moving in the earth, Lord, you're letting us see, you're letting us feel things how you see and feel them. The hurts, the pains of the people around us, Lord. I thank you for that. And Lord, I want to thank you that you have used Lamar and Debbie in this situation, Lord, very powerfully. Lord, we pray for this family today that they would receive your comfort today. And I'm asking you, God, that you'd come and intervene and bring your healing for this young man. Lord, that you would come and touch him right now. Lord, as we agree in prayer, Lord, we're asking you to do powerful things because Jesus, you are Lord over all. Praise your name. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back and baskets up here. You can bring those at this time. Those of you who haven't done that yet.
go. If you say wait, we will wait. If you say step out on the water, and they say it can't be done, we'll fix our eyes on you and we will come. If you say go, we will go. If you say wait, we will wait. If you say step out on the water, and they say it can't be done, fix our eyes on you and me. Say wait, we will wait. You say step out on the water, and they say it can't be done. We'll fix our eyes on you and we will come.
More thing before you go today, before I send you out in his name, I was just noticing it's got a nice likeness of Daniel on this bag right here. Look here, Daniel. Okay. All right. Before you leave, I'm going to put this in the back, this little bag. This is a blessing bag. Claudia has put everything on the line. She's essentially going up there on air. She needs some money, gas money, stuff, you know, they ended up having to get a bigger truck and all. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, we're going to put this bag on the table out in whatever we call that room out there. The narthex, the vestibule, whatever it is, the front room. And we'd ask you, you know, if you want to bless her in that way, put something in the bag, okay? All right, and just think of Daniel. When you're looking at that. Now let me send you out. Have you been encouraged today? Do you want a pastor that's just going to mamby-pamby it and just not tell you the truth? Of course you don't. But we've got joy. I send you out today in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus. May the joy of the Lord be on you as you speak life over people, as you're all in with Him. Amen.
As I walk, will you walk with me? As I go along my way, the road is long, but if you walk with me, I can walk another day, precious Lord. Can I talk with you as we go?